Because when we let the anger consume us, we say and do things that we should not do. And so that part of our brain shuts down. We are no longer thinking logically. We are no longer thinking rationally. And we become like base beasts. That's when man kicks in. And that's how people commit murders and all kind of atrocities when they lose that moment. Now, he didn't commit murder, but he disobeyed Yahweh. All the rest of this time, he's been faithful. Look, he faced Pharaoh. He did all these things. But in that moment, he struck the rock when he was told to speak to him. And it cost him. It cost him. These are the lessons we need to learn. So are we willing to put our flesh down? We have to put ourselves aside. Is it really that important? Like David said, is it really worth losing your crown? Because I'm telling you, it's for a moment. You get mad and hit somebody, that's for a moment. You get mad and hit someone with your car because they're driving too slow, that's only for a moment. That's right, the consequences. And it could be little things. But we have to be mindful of it. So he told them in verse 7, continue on. He says, and Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, he encourages him. He says, be strong and of good courage, for you shall go with this people into the land which Yahweh has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And Yahweh, he it is that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And that's for all of us. Fear not, neither be dismayed, because Yahweh is with us. If we will remember it. If it becomes a part of us that when things come and stresses come, that we remember and call upon that promise from Yahweh. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6, I'm going to read verse 14 through 18. So it's only five verses. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with iniquity? And that's what you always tell them. Don't be tied up with these people. Don't make agreements. Don't get in with them. Or what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has the Messiah with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of Yahweh with idols? Hear what he said, it'd be a snare to you. For we are a temple of the living Elohim. Even as Yahweh said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. And touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And remember, he says, don't covet those things, because if you do and you bring it into your house, into your temple, you will become corrupt like it. You will become a cursed thing like it. And I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. But we have to do what he said, and we have to do it according to his will, don't we? We can go back to Romans 9, and while you're turning back to Romans 9, you know, it's interesting when I mentioned that guy, Paul, I'm sorry, in Romans 9, we're going to pick up at verse 19. When I mentioned that guy, Paul. One interesting thing about him, he wanted Israel to come back, and he got all about bringing back Israel back. But here's the irony of it. This guy was very wealthy. And ironic part is, you know how he got his wealth? By being a slaver. That's how he made all his money. But yet, he wants to bring Israel, people who had been in bondage, back to their land. But he wanted to do it their way, his way. Which will what? Make them a slave what? To sin and death. Because they may not be in physical slavery, but they would have, I mean, look at now. Spiritual blindness. Spiritual slavery. A slave to sin and death, even to this day. They got the land. They're in the land. But at a compromise. I read those verses because Yahweh said, this is how you get the land. This is how you be calm. This is how you be with me. Go in the land, and this is what you're supposed to do. When you read in part of Israel's declaration, they're in that land, and you know how they we know how they list, who they list as their protector? The IDF. the Israeli Defense Force, that is their sole purpose in their conscript or in their mission. There is to provide protection and safety for the state of Israel. That's their purpose for whole existence. But Yahweh says what? He says, I will go before you. I will get rid of your enemies if you obey my word. But because of not, they're what? They're looking to men to protect them, aren't they? And are they ever going to have peace? But yet we sit, and when I look at us, at our mindset, you know, everyone got all excited. Oh, we're going to move our embassy to Jerusalem. And the president said that Jerusalem's going to be the capital. He recognizes the capital. So what? This is not a slight of Trump. What I'm saying is, so what for all the religious people who are excited about that? Israel's not doing what they're supposed to do. And that Zionist Federation, you know what a Zionist is? It's interesting when they define it. They say the Zionist is the movement of bringing all Israel back to all Israelites back to Israel, to their promised land. And it's a conglomeration agreement between, and I found it interesting, between liberal and conservative, between secular and religious. Because, see, they're worried about the blood. They're saying of bloodline. Bloodline Israelites. Nothing about believers. You just think, liberal and conservative, religious and secular. Is there going to be peace with that? The secular, they may or may not believe. And the religious, how many of those who are religious acknowledge Yahshua? How many that are religious will even call upon the name of Yahweh? Some do, but there's even factions among that. So is Yahweh going to put his foot? Is he going to bless that land and be over them with all this is going on? There are things they have to do. My point is this. There's nothing that we or any government is going to be able to do to bring them where they need to be. We can't make this prophecy be fulfilled. If they want that prophecy fulfilled, you know what's going to have to happen? Israel is going to have to proclaim Yahweh. Their government, their religious leaders are going to step up and say, we need to turn back to Yahweh like what happened in Scripture. When Yahweh says, when you go and if you call out to me, I'll be right there, he says. Are they calling out to Yahweh? No, they call out to France and Czechoslovakia and the United States and Great Britain and Germany because that's who funds them. That's who gives them money. That's who gives them arms and trains their soldiers and does this. They wouldn't need any of that. They wouldn't need to be in league with anyone else if they called out to Yahweh. We're talking about returning. That's the nation that can actually return to Yahweh because at one time they had Yahweh. The United States never made a covenant with Yahweh, but Israel did. See, this is what I'm saying. This is at Yahweh's choosing. He has chosen a path that things should be accomplished and the way things should be done. And we need to understand what that is so that we can think about things the right way and support the right thing. So continuing on in 9, picking up at verse 19, he says, and then will you say to me, why does he still find fault? For who withstands his will? But know, O man, who are you that replies against Yahweh? See, that's what he's saying. What are you doing? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me like this? Or does the potter not have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one part of a vessel to honor and another to dishonor? What if Yahweh, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Yahweh's showing his patience. We've earned a death penalty, but it says what? He's shown his great power. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he previously prepared for glory, even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Because of what? The heart within us. As he says also in Hosea, I will call that my people, which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living Elohim. Those who choose to hold fast to the law and to the word of Yahweh and to obey him. To be Israel in spirit. To be his sons and daughters. Like Yahshua said. Remember what Yahshua said in John 4:24. I say it so often. Because Yahshua clarified that Yahweh seeks those who serve him what? In spirit and in truth. He didn't say, I'm looking for a bloodline. As, verse 27. And Isaiah cries concerning Israel. If the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sands of the sea, it is the remnant that will be saved. For Yahweh will execute his word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. And as Isaiah has said before, except Yahweh Shabaoth had left us a seed, we should have become as Sodom and should have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not follow righteousness attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, following after the law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law? Why? Because they sought it not in faith, but as it were by works. See, they were doing these things not because they believed. They're just doing it as an action, weren't they? It was a, look how good a rule follower I am. That's the physical. What about the spirit behind it? Do you not murder because you love your fellow man and you know it's wrong to hate and we have love towards one another? Or you don't murder because you're like, well, Yahweh said don't murder, so I guess I won't do it. That's the difference. And theirs was, well, we got to do it. Let's just do it. Or to show that I'm more pious than you. Whereas you had those who were coming from outside the faith. And you, if you've been paying attention when Dennis was reading and hearing Acts, those who are coming to Messiah, coming to this way, as it said in Acts, this way of life. What way? The way of following the word of Yahshua and his example. Because they loved the Father and they loved truth. They did it, as it were, by works, and they stumbled at the stone of stumbling, and that's why. Think about what David was talking about. We start to stumble, why is it? Are we doing it because we love Yahweh and we have faith and believe in him, or are we getting in our own way sometimes? What we want to do. Verse 33, even as it was written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. If we hold fast, if we believe in Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah and the examples that he has set, if we have the mindset that things are should be as the way that Yahweh dictated and we can't bring things into fruition because we want it to be or because we have an idea of how we want things to go, but allowing it to go as Yahweh has already established in Scripture. And that's why I read that in Ecclesiastes. He said it's already been written. The plan is already there. But it's for us to walk and to find joy in him and find joy in his way. To praise Yahweh for what he has done and the way that he's leading us. We don't always see it clearly sometimes, but we need to acknowledge and praise Yahweh and thank him for where we are and what he has done for us. He didn't say it was going to be easy. It's simple, but it's not always easy. And that's why we cry to him and ask him for strength. Are there any questions? Comments? Hallelujah.